I would like to call the meeting to order. This is the April meeting of the Pacifica National Board being held in one of the signal areas, Houston. I want to thank Houston for hosting this very, very much. I want to acknowledge from the Houston station, in addition to the members of the Pacifica National Board, Dwayne Masood and Ernesto are here, and they will Dwayne will eventually present the station report from KPFT. And also we have a student from one of the local schools in Houston, Marcel, who came to witness democracy. In action, Marcel, buckle your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy ride here.
To make Marcel the sergeant at arms.
So. Okay. So, what the agenda is for this evening are, of course, convening the session, introductions, welcoming the audience, and for everyone here, I do welcome you. We are going to have a station report. We will have public comment at 7:30 for a half an hour, if we have a half an hour's worth of public comment, and then we're going to adjourn to the Houston station. We have a preliminary issue that has to be addressed and decided by this body. There is a controversy out of WBAI in New York. And who are the appropriate delegates for this meeting of the PNB? I have read legal opinions on both sides. The election in New York, I believe the certification date was April 7th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Subsequent to that, there was a meeting of the LSB as delegates to elect delegates to the PNB that was called on a 3-day notice. There are some people from New York who felt that that convening of the delegates meeting was a violation of the bylaws of Pacifica. There are others here who believe that proper notice was given and that it was a proper meeting held. It's going to be easy for me to get through this if I don't have a lot of other comments until I can introduce the subject. You know, guys, if you're going to have cell phone conversations, I don't care, but just take them outside. That would be helpful for all of us. There were other, so the issue was whether or not the delegates' meeting was properly noticed and whether or not four individuals who were elected to be PNB delegates were properly elected, the very foundation of that decision being whether or not the notice was proper. I have read Mr. Hildebrand's, if I
Hillgardner's
opinion, and I also, as chair of the Pacifica National Board, have read the decision, the legal opinion of the Foundation Counsel, Dan Siegel. I have a few choices, and I've consulted with my parliamentarians, or the people that I have used in my brief tenure, George Ryder, Bob Lederer, and Jack, about what do I do in this situation? Because it's... and I am... Yes. I'm going to get to that. I primarily talked to Dan Siegel, and I asked George Ryder for assistance in how to proceed on this. The parliamentarians that I have relied on in my brief tenure, if you don't mind not interrupting me next time, are George Ryder, Bob Lederer, and Jack Van Aken. Whatever decision I make here will be challenged. I could simply let the body vote up or down, but I will make a decision, and then I invite this body to challenge the ruling of the chair. Once that occurs, I will allow each position to be presented briefly and concisely, and then I will ask the Pacifica National Board delegates to vote on that, to vote up and down on the chair's decision. None of the people from WBAI will be allowed to participate in that vote. Okay. So I am going to... Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Did you listen to what I said? I want both sides to present their arguments or positions to this body. No one from New York will be allowed to vote. This body has the authority to decide. That's what Mr. Ryder, in his consultation to me, advised me to do slightly differently. I could have let it go directly to a vote without deciding. I will make a decision. And then I invite my decision to be challenged so that we can have a full and open discussion, but brief. a brief discussion on Pacifica is really the ultimate oxymoron. So I'm going to decide that the notice was improper because it was not given with sufficient time. And it was my understanding that some of the members were not on the chain of information. So that's the decision of the chair. Challenge the ruling of the chair? Okay. Does that need a second? Challenging the ruling? Okay.
Does that have to be seconded?
Yes.
I need more information, Madam Chair. What you said was very, very summary. What's important to me is that we make a good vote, one that's based on the rules, not that we just make a vote either to support you or to support people trying to get on the board. And I don't have enough. And some of the questions that come to my mind is...
So like, let me just ask you right now, are you going to, before...
And so what I'm trying...
You're going to second her...
I'm wondering whether I need to second that appeal in order to get more information. If you're going to give me more information, I can decide.
I'm not.
Okay,
I'm not,
I need
I'm
to
not,
sec- I do need to second you. The appeal so okay. We can have more information.
Mr. Siegel.
Okay.
Oh, so let me just say how this is going to go now. We're going to have Foundation Council speak. I would like then both... sides in this dispute to select one spokesperson to address their position. And then if we need more information or if the body feels that it still needs more information, we can proceed from there.
Madam Chair, this is Thomas Ruffin.
Yes,
very quickly. I second the appeal, but I want to make it clear I'm doing it with reservation. I'm not seconding the appeal to indicate my vote. I need more information.
Thomas, thank
okay.
you very
yes,
much.
Ma'am.
I would move that selecting one spokesperson is really not fair. There are too many issues here to be involved, and I would ask that you allow free debate, perhaps to alternate from side to side until the time is exhausted. But I'd like to ask for 30 minutes on this issue until we've had a complete debate.
I'm
going to second that.
I move to amend that we allow two people on each side with each person having an opportunity to speak for up to 3 minutes for each person. I think that would be enough for us to get the details. And I would certainly urge, if that's adopted, that people don't be redundant and restate what someone has already said.
I don't want to have a vote on it. I'm loose about expanding the time a little bit and the number of speakers. I promise to be as fair as I can to have a full exchange here. I don't want to be here the whole night on the other hand. So if we could proceed, I'm open to expanding and having this full discussion. So people, turn your phones off. Thank you.
Madam Chair, excuse me, there's a motion, though, to extend for 30 minutes.
Wasn't seconded.
Wendy seconded it, I'll second.
Oh, okay. All right. Is there any objection to limiting this discussion or expanding this discussion to 30 minutes? Seeing none, we're going to move forward. Dan, could you begin?
Okay. Let me say that, in my opinion, and this is my opinion, this is not a close question. And before I explain the rationale, I want to say that the board is obviously free to disregard my opinion, criticize my opinion, say what you will. But I do not believe that members of the board should feel free to criticize my motivation. My opinion is my opinion. It is based on my evaluation of the evidence and the bylaws. It's not based on my desire to favor one side or the other. For people who have been involved in these elections over the last several months, I think the fair judgment would be is that I've given a lot of opinions that have made a lot of people unhappy, including my friend AC, who just walked in, who has argued with me about matters relating to the WPFW-LSB for months. And I think everyone would acknowledge that AC is my friend. So this is here's why I say this is not a close question. In making decisions about Pacifica procedure, our basic source document is our bylaws. We go outside the bylaws to Robert's rules or rules of law or statutes only when the bylaws are not clear. So I want people to accept that as a basic rule of law. The second basic rule of law, and there are now a lot of lawyers on the board, so you can confirm this, is that when interpreting any legal document, whether it's a contract, a statute, or Pacifica bylaws, the interpretation which harmonizes conflicts is to be preferred over one that creates conflicts or that leaves pieces out of the analysis, okay? So if you're asked to interpret these bylaws and your interpretation is one that ignores provisions of the bylaws, that's probably an incorrect interpretation. So the question before us, I would say, is this question. What is the procedure for calling a meeting for a delegate group from any station to elect members of the Pacifica National Board? That is the question. What's the procedure for calling the meeting? Now, I think our bylaws are very clear, which is why I say I don't think this is a tough question. There is nothing in the bylaws which is specific to calling a meeting of delegates to select directors. Nothing, there's no provision, no article, no section which says here is how you call the meeting to allow the delegates to elect members of the National Board. But there is a section that answers this question. And if you look at Section 6 of Article 7, which has to do with the LSB, it talks about meetings of the LSB. It says, first of all, each LSB shall meet as often as required, but not less than once every other month. Section B, which is the one that applies here. There shall be a meeting of the LSB. Now, note, it says a meeting of the LSB, not a meeting of the delegate assembly. It says there shall be a meeting of the LSB in December each year to seat newly elected delegates and to elect LSB officers, and in early January to elect directors. Now, what does that provision tell us? It tells us that the meeting at which the delegates elect members of the PNB is an LSB meeting. It's not another kind of meeting. It's not a special delegates meeting. There's no provision in the bylaw for delegates meetings. The only provision that applies that is in the bylaws is the language that I've just read. There shall be a meeting of the LSB in January to elect directors. Now, what happened? Well, of course, we know what happened, and I don't think it's important to argue about the reasons it happened, but there was not a meeting in January. We know there was not, because there are lots of things that went on with delays of the election, litigation, and so on. But the reason for that, I would submit, is not relevant to the consideration. So then there's going to have to be a meeting at some other time. And the some other time could only be after the delegates / LSB members were elected. And everyone knows there was an interim process that was adopted by this board in January to elect temporary PNB directors. But now that the elections for LSB members / delegates has taken place and was completed this past Monday.
Excuse me, Dan. You guys over there in the corner, your mics are picking it up, and I can't hear Dan.
I apologize. Sorry.
Okay, thank you, Carol.
So the election was finalized this past Monday. So now the LSB has to meet. The LSB has to meet in order to select the WBAI directors. Now, when does the LSB of WBAI meet? Again, we have a provision, the very same paragraph that I've just been referring to, which explains the requirements for holding LSB meetings. And what it says in the same paragraph, it's either 10 days notice, okay, so an LSB meeting can be called on 10 days notice, or it can be called when all of the officers agree that a shorter period is necessary. So I think that's the beginning and the end of the analysis. It's clear that it's an LSB meeting that has to be scheduled, because that's what the bylaws say, to elect PNB directors, and it says what the time frame is for holding such a meeting, either 10 days or on lesser notice when all the officers agree. That did not happen this week. The meeting that was scheduled was on 3 days' notice, not 10 days. There is no showing that all of the officers agreed to that early meeting. So the meeting was not called in compliance with the bylaws. So it was not a valid meeting. It seems to me the only thing that needs to happen is for the WBAI to have a meeting based on its normal procedures, and I believe that one is already scheduled from what I've been advised, and that's where the election will take place. There is no need, as council has suggested, to create a whole set of procedures for meetings of the delegates. They're not in our bylaws, number one. There's no such thing in our bylaws. And because our bylaws do provide the answers to the question, there's no need to look outside the bylaws. So I don't think this is a close question. Again, I don't think it's an opinion that favors one side or the other. It's simply an opinion which favors following the bylaws and not making up new procedures to deal with a situation where one is not necessary.
Thank you, Dan. I'm going to ask that this group present their position to begin with, please.
Madam Chair, please identify the group you're referring to.
I don't know what the coalition is.
What their names?
I would like to speak, Carolyn Burden.
Okay.
I'm one of the provisional directors elected pursuant to a rule of the PNB, and again, I was reelected at the delegates' meeting on the 9th. And our position is that the four delegates were elected in a legal assembly, that the PNB passed a resolution that said that as soon as the elections are certified, as soon as it's feasible, a special delegates meeting should be held. The rules, with all due respect to corporate counsel, the rules applying to an LSB are not relevant because a delegate assembly is not an LSB. It's a hard distinction to understand, but it is a different group. And the rules that the the rules that apply to the LSB do not apply to the delegate assembly. The delegate assembly was ordered to convene as soon as feasible after the elections were certified. We waited and waited and waited, and we called a provisional meeting of the PNB to ask the PNB to convene a delegates meeting on the 10th. That turned out not to be necessary because the delegates themselves convened a meeting and actually got a quorum on the 9th, and so we held that meeting. Now, I think that the argument here, if we're going to argue the technicalities of meeting, I believe that given the circumstances, and that everybody knew that a meeting was necessary and had been mandated by the PNB as soon as feasible, that was the PNB's directive, and was ready for it. It is clear to us, we had a quorum, there were 14 people there. The meeting was boycotted by people who had enough votes to elect one director if they had wanted to under STV. They could have, with seven people attending, but they chose to boycott the meeting. And the meeting proceeded in a legal manner, and the delegates, four delegates, were elected. So I think the basic principle here is that, in fact, you have disenfranchised several thousand WBAI listeners who voted, members who voted in December to seat their delegates, and the delegates have been waiting 4 months to be seated. And I think that to seat them tonight would be logical. The people whom they are replacing have served their term. They've been provisional, as I was, for 4 months. And now it's time for new elected directors to take their places at the table. And I think that should be the focus. If you're talking about fairness, let's talk about fairness to the voters of WBAI, who, in fact, voted for their directors. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Carolyn, I just your mic is really picking up when you're not speaking, so just be cautious of it if you want to whisper. Thank you. Let me hear from – that was against the ruling of the chair. Let me hear some pro-ruling of the chair.
Madam Chair, may I?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Corporate counsel spoking in favor of the ruling of the chair spoke for a good 5 minutes. If we could have consideration of the time.
Oh, I'm gonna balance the time out. I would just like to go pro con, but I definitely will. Thank you. So from the other group of people who would like to, and I'm telling you now, folks, we're at 12 minutes. Bob Blitterer.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to ask permission of the body to play an excerpt of the meeting of the LSB at which the election date was set, because there's been a lot of confusion and misinformation about what happened that night. I think it's about a 4-minute excerpt, and I'd like to ask that not come out of our time, because that's just factual information so people understand exactly what was said that night.
It should be from the minutes of the meeting.
I would object to that. There's no point to that. You can repeat what was said. Nobody's going to doubt the veracity of your report.
They've already done that.
Can I get a sense of people not from New York if you want to hear the tape or you don't want to hear the tape?
Play the tape.
Could you not?
You have to pose the question so we can answer.
All right. How many people on the LSB, no New Yorkers voting, no WBAIs voting, would like to hear the tape? PMB, excuse me.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I count 9 unless people have their hands half.
Don't count me, I'm
10.
The chair.
Okay. No. Okay. That's 10.
Okay. So I think that we have a majority of those who were voting who want to hear the tape. That's what they want to hear for their argument. Please play the tape.
May we have, are you taking?
I'm sorry. Forgive me. Yeah. How many people do not want to hear the tape?
Two, three.
Carolyn, you can't vote on this.
Four, five. I see five against.
Okay.
So.
Okay, would you play the tape?
Okay, and this won't come out of our time.
I'm not going to make that decision now. We're now at 14 minutes, so I want us to proceed with this discussion. Play the tape.
Okay.
If you want to. If that's your choice, play the tape.
Okay. This was at the meeting March 25th, LSB. After the chair pointed out that the Houston PNB meeting was April 11th and that airfares would be very exorbitant if they were purchased sooner than a week before the meeting. So she made a suggestion to the body.
The 23rd. So I would ask if somebody would be willing to more or less bring forward a motion on the order of that there will be a delegates assembly and LSB meeting on the 3rd at 7 p.m., if the delegate election results have been certified by April 2, and if not, then the delegates assembly meeting will happen on Tuesday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. If anybody wants to bring forward a motion. All right, that's one second then. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Let me just read this again so it's, I'll read what my suggested wording was. Kindly signed off on. There will be a delegates assembly and LSB meeting on Thursday, April 3rd at 7 p.m. if the delegate election results have been certified by April 2. If not, the delegates assembly and LSB meeting will be on Tuesday, April 23 at 7 p.m. Discussion? Lisa?
Point of information.
Yes.
Did the PNB decide, do you know when their next meeting is going to be? I know that there was questions about that. Did they decide that?
Bob? I'm sorry, what? What meeting is going to be on the 28th?
The PNB meeting, because I thought that.
Well, I thought the PNB meeting. Wait, what PNB meeting are we talking about? Teleconference. Okay. Will be the 28th of this month. Yeah. Yes, Bob?
All right, I'm going to stop it there. So the point is that, the motion was made and seconded, discussion was taken, and just in the interest of time, I'll skip. What basically happened was no one spoke against it, and no one offered an amendment to change the date. The date was said very clearly it's based on the precarious finances of Pacifica, that it should be a reasonable date so the airfares are not exorbitant, and if the election doesn't get certified by that day, which was 3 days after the vote count was scheduled to start, it seemed reasonable it would be certified, that then it would be after the Houston meeting. The vote was held. It was 10 in favor, 0 against. Some people abstained. So the opportunity that people had the opportunity, if they thought it was an unfair date, to move to substitute or amend. They failed to do that. Now, just for the authority on which this meeting occurred, people should read what the motion was that the PNB adopted in January to deal with the delay in the election. It described the process of electing interim people in January to sit until the elections are certified, and then it said, and I was the author of this motion, which passed unanimously with no controversy and no opposition, quote, as soon as feasible after the certification, the LSB or delegates shall convene a meeting to hold elections for directors for the remainder of the term. Okay, so that's exactly what happened. Unlike what the director who spoke earlier claimed, where she said that the PNB directed that as soon as possible a special delegates meeting should be held, that's not what it said. It said an LSB or delegates meeting should be held. And indeed, that's what the LSB did. They held a meeting as they were directed to do by the PNB. They set a date. Everyone had an opportunity to challenge that date that night and say that if the election's not certified by April 2nd, that means that newly elected people won't get to go to Houston. That's unfair. They could have made any of those arguments. They didn't. Then there was another level of appeal that they could have exercised. And in fact, three of them did give notice that they were going to hold a PNB meeting. A special emergency PNB meeting to order the WBI delegates to have an election the night before the Houston meeting. Several of us thought that was unwise, it certainly was their legal right to do that, and they could have pursued that, and they could have had the PNB override this decision, but they chose not to, for whatever reason. And what intervened in between those two events and between them, no one objecting to this date when they were there at the LSB, and suddenly deciding there's an emergency that requires a meeting on 3 days' notice, was that the results were announced, the tentative results were announced, and that the people who later would bring the motion for the instant election had gained the majority. And that's the only thing that changed. Everyone knew the timetable going in. So then Lisa has another very vital piece of information to add.
Okay. And I think that are you Kathy?
I am Kathy Davis.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
First, I want to say that the very fact that the elections were finally certified and that the actual members of the LSB had changed was not, oh, just the members had changed. That's a significant difference. And when we were when the LSB was in New York or New Jersey, there was also a challenge, and it was established then that the sitting directors would stay, and then once the election was certified, that the new delegates would immediately be seated, or steps would be taken to honor the elections. And I feel that this particular effort right now is an effort to unfairly disenfranchise the voters of New York City, and an effort to unfairly interpret this very motion that Bob read, in which he said it's either an LSB or a delegates meeting, an LSB or a delegates meeting, and what was held was a delegates meeting. So I don't understand this reinterpretation. All members of the LSB in New York had 3 days' notice. It was by email, and there were responses. There were two individual responses from the members here, and then the day before the meeting would be held, a letter was sent to the council, Siegel.
Okay.
And I believe, and it appears to me, that all of these were steps to simply hold on to these seats beyond what was legally allowed for these delegates. These delegates were elected onto the LSB by members that are no longer members of the LSB.
Thank you, Kathy.
We're at 22 minutes.
We're at 22 minutes. I'm going to allow us another speaker from each side, if that's okay.
Point of information, please. I just distributed copies of the opinion by Tom Hilgardner on this issue, and if anyone does not have it, I have two extra copies.
I think that it was also circulated electronically.
Which nobody seems to have read.
I read it.
Thank you.
Okay, so now I'm going to call on Lisa, and then after Lisa, I'm going to have another individual. I don't know who you guys want to speak, but we have James Ross and Stephen Brown left remaining. And then I'm going to get a sense of the body about whether or not you feel that you are sufficiently informed to vote. Lisa.
I just want to say you heard on the tape that we definitely the LSB made a good faith effort to try to do everything that it could, considering the timing of the PNB meeting. And we had no idea when these elections were going to be certified. But on March 25th, we did say, and everybody agreed, or there was no objections, that if the elections were going to be certified Wednesday, we would have a meeting the very next day afterwards. But being that the PNB meeting was a week away, you had to make arrangements. We did not want the airfares to become exorbitant. That if they were not, that then we would hold it on the 23rd. And there was all these objections that we're hearing right now and everything. None of those objections were heard then. But even more so, this meeting that they had on the 9th, is illegal and violates the bylaws, the spirit of what we're doing in every way. First of all, no matter how you try to shape it or dice it or whatever, Article 7 specifically says, also this meeting was held before people were even seated. So that, I mean, the elections were certified, then suddenly these people were just empowered to get together and hold a meeting. That they evidently had this discussion, basically what you had going on. Certain people were going to be on the LSB and people were currently on it. Delegates, however you want to call them, got together and excluded a whole group of other people from any participation. And then we had the right to vote on whether or not we thought that meeting should be held on the 9th. We were denied that right, never consulted with or anything, just told that this is what it was going to be. But Article 7, Section 6B specifically says that delegates are to be seated at an LSB meeting, And then in terms of notice, another part of Article 7, Section 6B reads that no LSB meeting shall occur sooner than 10 days from the date of the vote scheduling, and that in the event that something like that should happen, in the event that a meeting is called for or less than 10 days notice, that all members of the LSB must be given at least 24 hours notice by telephone. Okay, so not email, but by telephone. But even if you argue or support that argument, and I will say right now I do not support the argument presented by Hill Gardner, their attorney, but even if you did, even by what he says here, this meeting is invalid because of the line when he says, he talks about as soon as feasible after certification of the WBI delegate election, a three-day notice issued by two or more delegates and sent by email is valid and adequate if all delegates have email. All delegates did not get this email and they did not have access to the email list in which this was sent upon. I have right here, and I pass this out, an affidavit by Father Lawrence Lucas, who is currently a sitting member of the LSB and a delegate, since we seem to be making that distinction. And what he did, the top page is a letter to the board in which he is saying that this meeting is illegal. He verified. I've never seen an email coming from Father Lucas. He's been on the LSB for over 4 years. He's never posted anything to the LSB listserv, period. But we have this cover page right here, and then behind the cover page we have an affidavit. He's very, very upset about what happened. And what I did, because the pages in which he signed were kind of a blurry because of the ink running out, I did attach to the back so people can fully see what he says. And you have two pages right here, but he never received an email. As a delegate, he was supposed to be notified. That is, Pacifica is legally bound to notify the delegates. And one other thing I want to say about this meeting. Oh, he says, I have served on the WBAI LSB for over 4 years, and throughout most of that time, I did not have email access and did not use email.
Got your point on that.
Okay, well then, I just want to also say one other thing. The timing that they held this meeting, they held this meeting at 9:30 p.m. at night. This is supposed to be a public meeting, 9:30 p.m. at night in New York City. No matter where they held it, though, it would have been wrong. But 9:30 p.m. at night, you're holding a public meeting. And by virtue of that time, that also excluded people. I live in New Jersey.
Okay.
I cannot attend any meeting at 9:30 p.m. held at that time. Okay. And they deliberately did that and took away my right. Also.
All right. So now we're at 26 minutes. I invite one speaker from the other side, and then I'm going to get a sense of the body here. And introduce yourself again on the mic, please.
Hi, this is kind of a short cable. Hi, my name's Jamie Ross, and I have been elected to be a director by the delegates of WBAI, and it disturbs me greatly that this effort is going on to disenfranchise the members of WBAI who voted back in November. They voted for change. The three directors who are over there from WBAI represent a faction who did not win these elections. They lost. That's what the voters said, and they said this 4 months ago. They've been waiting for change for 4 months, and now we have this going on so these three directors can hold on to their seats for one more board meeting. I think that's terrible. I think it's terrible that you guys would consider letting that happen over what is really a technicality. Let's see, I'd like to address a few points that have been made. Why was the meeting, Lisa Davis asked, why was the meeting made at 9:30 at night on Wednesday? Well, let me ask you. The election was certified on Monday at 9 p.m. at night. We couldn't do it Monday night. We had heard that the election would be certified on Wednesday, so we scheduled it Wednesday night. So we have as much time as possible between that and this meeting. Why 9:30? There was a staff meeting at the station earlier in the evening, and we couldn't do it then. We did the best we could, people. We're not trying to pull a fast one here, but we are very concerned that the wishes of the WBAI members who voted for change get the results that they want. They don't want this. And let me address one more point here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I get so caught up in my oratory. The PNB in January, folks, I'm going to come back to this motion one more time. From your own motion, it says, quote, as soon as feasible after the certification, the LSB or delegates shall convene a meeting to hold elections for directors for the remainder of the term, whose term begins immediately upon their election. Okay, first, folks, I submit to you that April 23rd is not as soon as feasible after certification on April 7th. That just isn't so. Second, it says LSB or delegates shall convene a meeting. This was your motion. This is what you told us. We, as delegates, did convene a meeting. We followed the procedure that you set down. And it would have been nice if the LSB chair and other officers could have gotten together to convene this as an emergency meeting, but all our officers represent the faction that lost, and it apparently was in their interest not to convene a meeting, so we had to do it ourselves. This meeting was convened by 14 delegates, the 14 new people who were elected. It's not some fly-by-night, you know, kind of a thing. And let's see. The last point I would make is one of the arguments against seating us is that somehow this decision by the BAI LSB, the old BAI LSB, the one that got voted out, the old BAI LSB voted not to have a delegates meeting till April 23rd, well after this meeting. I submit to you that the old LSB cannot tell the new delegates when we can meet. If that were so, the old LSB could say, well, we're going to have the next delegates meeting in 3 months if they thought they were going to lose. Then they would hold on to their director seats for those 3 months. The point of these elections, folks, is to have directors that actually represent the membership. If that's what you want, if you want legitimate directors that actually represent the membership, as the membership has expressed it in their votes, there's only one choice for you, which is to overturn this ruling and to seat us three new directors. I'm sorry if I sound angry, but this upsets me greatly. I have to say that it's this kind of decision-making and these kind of games that lead to the endless rancor in this organization and prevent us from doing the work that we really need to do. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. I want to inform the body that we are at 30 minutes. Nia has asked to speak. I want it, George.
To extend for 15 minutes.
No, please.
Make it 10 minutes.
Please.
Let me speak to that. I'd like to speak to this also. I think the people on the board.
Well, I didn't get there yet, George. So, but all you're doing is.
I'm sorry. I thought we were going to go to a vote after 30 minutes.
We are. So you're right. We are going to discuss it eventually. Trying to get a sense now if the board would like more, if the board would like the opportunity to discuss it since both sides have presented their position.
Point of information.
Yes.
I had a question about that email which purportedly was not received by Father Lucas.
Before we go to that, may we now move to have a discussion of this by the board members, and I think both sides have presented their positions on this. Okay.
Get the microphone.
So are you going to answer his private information first? Or?
Okay. So now Yosh had a question about the information that Lisa presented, that one of the members did not receive email notification. Yosh, what was your question? Would you repeat it?
Yes. My question to anyone who from New York that might be able to answer is whether Father Lucas did or did not receive email notification.
He didn't. In fact, this is what this affidavit is about. He never received anything, and you clearly see in the argument by their attorney, he said that a meeting, in order for this meeting to be valid, everybody would have had to receive email. Everybody did not receive it. And in what I passed out, Father Lucas clearly states he did not, he's not on the listserv. He doesn't use email that much. He never received it. He never received any notification about this meeting.
Okay, Carolyn.
Yes, the list used to notify the members was taken from the LSB official list, which we have been using for several years, and which has, as the bylaws and as the Robert's Rules require, a list in the file section of contact numbers supplied to the secretary. We use that list. And if Father Lucas's email is not working or was not on that list, then I'm afraid that that was a defect in the secretary and in his notification. I'm shocked to hear him say he never received an email or sent one in 4 years. I can hardly believe that. He did come to meetings. But, in fact, we used the official list and gave official notification as best we had.
I have a point of information.
Yes.
Actually, two questions in this point of information. First of all, how many people showed up at this meeting where the election of new representatives took place, or would be new representatives? How many actually showed up?
There were 14.
14?
Elected, yes.
No, so, and how many people were on the board at that time? 24?
Elected, yes.
Okay. Second, that's two questions.
That I really
meant, but this
is
not,
a second question?
This is a third question.
Okay.
My mistake.
Sorry.
Did every member of the newly elected board consent to this meeting taking place within at that time?
No, that's the answer. I'm going to answer the questions because I seem to be the only one that can say no or yes. Mike.
In that same vein, this meeting was at 9:30 at night?
Yep.
That's when it was convened?
Yeah.
Has the New York LSB or delegates ever met at 9:30 before?
No.
8:30.
Was it common course of practice to meet at 9:30?
7:00.
No. Okay. That was my question.
No, the point was that there was a staff meeting.
That we met on all these people have called meetings on Halloween, on 2 days after Christmas, all kinds of.
All right,
that's
we're not
true.
Gonna have
that's
we're
true.
Not gonna have
that is
that
very
kind
true.
Of
we
behavior.
Had I'm sorry, but the 9:30 meeting was a concession to the staff members so that they could show up because they had a meeting at 7 and asked that we not call a meeting before 9 or 9:30 so that they could make it to the meeting location, which was not at the station, by the way.
Okay, thank you. Nia, did you have a – I see Margaret, and I don't know if Nia – and I know George also, I'm sorry. All right. So, Nia, did you want to say something? Because I saw your hand before Margaret's, but I'm not sure if it was to speak.
Yes.
Okay.
And as you know, I'm usually brief. I just want to say a few things. That meeting that took place, it's not that we boycotted the meeting. Lisa, Bob, and I specifically asked our legal counsel, was it proper? Based on the opinion of legal counsel, that's why we did not go. Because, as you may recall, there have been two improper meetings prior to that in a coffee shop that's non-wheelchair accessible. Additionally, what I want everybody at this table to realize is that if this were to be voted up, that means that in terms of proportional representation, that would be out the window. And you could correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's out the window because none of us here, neither Lisa, Bob, nor I, was at that meeting. So I just want people to pay attention to that.
Thank you. Margaret, and I'm going to ask everybody in your comments to be really brief and concise. Don't take that personally, Margaret.
Right. Well, actually, mine is a question.
Okay.
I'm reading here that Article 7, Section 6B of the Pacifica bylaws explicitly states that in the event of less than 10 days' notice, notice shall be given by telephone message to all LSB members at least 24 hours before the meeting. So I'm wondering if Father Lucas and indeed everyone was called. I know that the PMB, because prior to this particular effort, there was a call for an emergency meeting of the PMB, and I know I got a telephone call about that meeting, which I think is good and proper. So I think, given the politics or factionalism, et cetera, aside, one of the things I'm concerned about is the kind of precedent that we would be setting where we choose to set aside bylaws when it's convenient and also to set aside the decision of legal counsel. I'm not saying that everybody always has to agree with legal counsel, but Pacifica does have legal counsel, and I think it was good and proper for both sides of this fight to, you know, seek counsel, and legal counsel was given. So I just want to get the answer to that question.
Great,
as
thanks.
Well.
Carolyn, I'm the chair here. Carolyn, do you have an answer, and then I'll ask Lisa.
Yes, I do. Thank you. The email notice was 3 days, which was much more than 24. None of the emails bounced back. Okay, pardon?
I asked about telephone.
I know, but we gave 3 days
Carolyn,
notice.
Carolyn, would you answer the question, was there also a telephone call made to each member? That's the only question, yes or no. It may not be dispositive, but that's the question. Yes or no? Did you guys also make...
We did not
not
have the telephone numbers up to date. We had a 3-year-old list in the files section. Also, if in fact the question of notification is going to come up, then I would propose that every meeting ever called by the PMB and many of the committees is illegally noticed, and therefore every motion ever passed by these illegally noticed meetings is null and void. For the last 5 years. So let's not go there, because I think it's a double-edged sword to claim notice as a technicality when voters are disenfranchised.
Okay, all right. Well, Lisa, do you have information in addition to what Carolyn said that would answer Margaret's question, yes or no?
Well, no, he did not, and he says he didn't receive notice via telephone or email, and I never received any notice via telephone,
okay.
So no.
Thank you. All right, George.
Yeah, several things. First of all, the LSB meeting that occurred was not responsive to the PMB directive because it occurred before anything was certified, before the vote was certified. The PMB specifically said that either an LSB or a delegates meeting would occur after the certification. So anything that happened there is basically irrelevant to the PMB's charge. Secondly, there is no procedure for calling a delegates meeting. That's true. The procedures for the LSB do not apply. They do not apply for a very good reason, because the delegates are the fundamental body of this organization. We are responsible to them. They can recall us. It is improper for us to be meddling in this election. There was a faction fight. The faction that won wants to be seated here, and I think we ought to honor what the people in New York voted for. As far as this thing being an improper election, there was no other way, as an improper meeting, there was no other way to call it. It had to be done in short order if it was going to be done at all. It was asked to be done if feasible. It was feasible because it did happen. People could have shown up from the other side. No one showed up. That seems to me to be a political decision. So I think in order to honor what the principle that got us here, which was that we are going to be a democratic organization representing our membership, not a top-down organization which mucks about and keeps our sort of self-selecting group here, then I think we need to seat the people who've just been elected in New York.
Thank you, George. Jack, and then Thomas.
Okay. In order for our democracy to function, we have to work according to certain agreed-upon procedures. That's really basic, such as bylaws, et cetera. There are two underlying principles here that I think are important and make this issue very clear for me. One is that the body continues. So if the LSB makes a decision about scheduling their meeting to elect directors, and it's a conditional decision, and that vote carries. When the new members are elected, you don't just throw out that decision. That decision is still in effect until it's reversed or implemented. So there was a scheduling of the election of directors, and it was a unanimous vote, although, of course, the then minority faction abstained. The other principle that I see is the protection of the rights of the minority, and that's a fundamental principle of parliamentary procedure in Robert's Rules, and it's also the reason that we have proportional representation as our mode of election. Because the new minority faction sought counsel of Pacifica's attorney and was advised that in the opinion of Pacifica Council that meeting would be illegal, they were then in a quandary. They could either attend the meeting and give legitimacy to that meeting, which had already been deemed improper, or they could stay away and risk, as they do now, having no representation whatsoever. So I see this as a very clear cut case of potentially disenfranchising the rights of the new minority. And so I think I think that the decision here is very clear, although it would have been preferable if this had all worked out some other way.
Thank you. Thomas?
I can see why on the part of many of the people on the new WBAI local station board, they believe that the election should have taken place. Was this on, I take it, April 9th? I have no problem with whether there was a sufficient urgency for the meeting to take place that night. However, what I'm concerned about is the notice so that everybody has a meaningful opportunity to participate in this meeting and hence in the election. And what I mean by notice is whether we are going to call the meeting a meeting of delegates or the local station board, we do have to look at what our mightily crafted bylaws have said. And in the oddest sort of way, while it calls for the election to be conducted by delegates, it does in fact say that in a local station board meeting, this would take place ordinarily in January. So I can see where the legal counsel comes with the idea that whenever that meeting would be scheduled, it would be a local station board meeting. But I'll even put that aside. Let's say that there's something that had not been placed in the bylaws about how to call a delegates meeting, and only in the delegates meeting this gathering could take place. People could be nominated either by themselves or others, and then a vote could take place. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. If there are 24 delegates at WBAI and we have from 4 to 8 people perhaps who are now saying that they ought to be seated on this national board, and 14 people showed up at the meeting in question, I have to wonder whether some of the other 10 knew about the meeting. And I have no problem if it was 14 and those who didn't show up chose not to show up. If the meeting is properly called, there's a quorum because that's more than the majority. So I don't have a problem with only 14 showing up. I have no problem with whether it's proportional or what. I don't see that. This is what I'm saying. If one of us, any of us, are at WBAI and these people aren't known to be interested in serving on this national board, and after all of our troubles and struggles in this election, one of the members, newly elected, or one of the incumbent members reelected, who never expressed an interest in being on the board, thought about this matter and said, you know, in my own heart, I'd like to stand for election to the Pacifica National Board. And none of you here today knew about that. If that person did not consent to the meeting that took place on April 9, then none of you would know whether that person on a properly called meeting, if that person that showed up would have said, I nominate myself to run. So in other words, if there is a person among the 10 who didn't show up who had a genuine interest in running for this board, we might not know it. And if that person did not get notice of the meeting and then consent to the meeting within a shortened period, that person's rights under the bylaws are under our mightily crafted bylaws, which don't work. That, you know, that person's right to a meaningful participation in that meeting didn't take place. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about in the struggles and troubles within Pacifica and at WBAI, whether we're going to avoid an election, which certainly was taken, which was participated in by people who mean well for the organization and the station. But if we void the bylaws, we have nothing that guide us in what we do tomorrow, today, the day after, and at the next meeting, on our telephone call meetings, for Nicole and Lonnie and their work, and for this board. Anything goes if we void the bylaws. So if the bylaws then, in fact, void that meeting, we have to vote that way. And I think that's what happened that night.
Okay.
May I point of clarification?
Yes.
Yes. The opinion by Counsel Siegel is just that, an opinion.
That's what he said.
Right. It is not settled law. And the nominations were made in December, and the provisional election was held on the basis of the nominations of the LSB. The self-nomination provision really was not even thought of, I don't believe. We made nominations for the LSB in December, and we voted on the basis of those nominations. We did it online. We can send you the emails, and no one who wanted to self-nominate was denied that chance in December when it was first, when the LSB made its nominations. So the question of self-nomination in April did not come up.
Thank Madam you, Carolyn.
Chair. Can I correct something?
No.
Madam Chair?
Sir.
I'd like to call a question on this matter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Second, fine. Is there an objection to calling the question? Okay, hearing none. Mary, would you do a roll call vote, please?
Could you state the motion?
Oh, the chair ruled to uphold the decision or advice of Foundation Council that the delegates meeting was not properly called. And that's what we're, and the chair's ruling was challenged.
Point of order, Madam Chair. Could you please just instruct the board in case anyone's mixed up about what a yes vote means, what a no vote
means? A yes vote means that you agree, yeah. You uphold the chair and agree that that meeting was not properly called, so the delegates elected at that meeting will not be seated today. A no vote means that you do not uphold the ruling of the chair and that those delegates will be seated tonight. Mary, call the roll, please.
Okay.
Madam Secretary.
Grace Aaron?
No, meaning that they will be seated tonight?
Correct.
Okay.
That,
you don't
uphold my ruling, Grace.
Right,
okay.
I do not uphold.
She's explained it already.
Nia Bediako?
I recuse myself.
You have to use a microphone.
No,
oh,
New York can't vote. I'm sorry, New York
cannot.
No, that's correct. Okay. I'm sorry. If I call.
Thank you, Nia.
A recusee, please correct me. Evelyn Bethune?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Carolyn Burden is recused. A.C. Bird?
Yes, to uphold the chair.
Okay, Lisa Davis is recused. Sherry Gendelman cannot vote. Ambrose Lane?
Yes.
Bob Lederer is recused. Mike Martin?
Yes.
Let's see. Efia Nongasa?
Yes.
Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
Sarv Randhawa?
Yes.
George Reiter?
No.
Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Thomas Ruffin?
Yes.
Wendy Schrell?
No.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Lori Taguma, I believe. Oh, there she is. Thank you. I hadn't known you were here. Thank you. Lori Taguma?
Yes.
Thank you. Jack Van Aken?
Yes.
Joe Wonsala?
No.
Yoshimanaka.
Reluctantly, yes.
Let's see. Evelyn Bethune, you passed.
I have to vote yes.
Microphone?
And I vote yes, and thank also you. Like Yosh, reluctantly.
Thank you. Okay, it does appear to have passed. 12, yes. And 4, 5, no. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I had thought at first. Yes, it was 4. That was my first idea. It is 4,
okay,
no.
The chair's ruling is upheld. I'm going to move the agenda now.